welcome to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey, where it is our mission to empower Christians with boldness and courage in every place. This is Jacob Hawk, the host of this podcast. You may be sitting in your car in traffic, walking in your neighborhood, exercising at the gym, or just trying to relax after a long day, but we are thrilled that you have joined us to spend time in God's Word. For more content, writings, podcasts, and other materials, I invite you to visit drjacobhawk.com. May God bless you richly and have a great day. Welcome back to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey. I hope you're having a great day, and we are going to continue today our series on leadership. I have Marcus McKee back in my office. Marcus, welcome today.
Well, glad to be with you again.
Marcus and I just got back a few days ago from Red River, New Mexico, and we were at a conference up there. We had a good time. Marcus had a hard time breathing.
I did. It was, missing a piece of my lung and only one side of my diaphragm that works. It makes it a challenge to breathe in altitude, but it was very refreshing spiritually and intellectually. Get to listen and get fed from some great speakers. That was fantastic.
Breathing is not overrated.
No, it's not. It's actually, I think it's really one of those luxuries of life.
Fairly helpful. Well, we are going to continue today in our discussion on leadership. So far, we've just talked about basic principles of leadership. And in the last episode, episode 131, we talked about why leadership is important. But today, episode 132, we are going to discuss where leaders are most needed. And so I'm just going to jump right in today, Marcus, with the first question I have for you. In your experiences, both in the business world and also in ministry, what do you think creates an absence of leadership?
Communication. When people do not communicate and there's no clear direction, I think that is an absence of leadership, because then you have people, they don't know where to go, which way to go, if they do know where to go or how to get there. And it's very difficult when you're trying to navigate by yourself and on your own. Leadership should be able to point you in the direction and then give you the equipment to get in that, to go in that direction, I think.
So an absence of communication creates an absence of leadership. I would certainly agree with that. What do you think leads to an absence of communication?
That's a great question. Absence of communication, absence of leadership, both go down to people not willing to, I think, take a responsibility that is theirs and or just don't know how to. But I think more often than not, what I've seen and especially in ministry and congregations, is that you have people who are excellent leaders, but they don't want to step up to the challenge to lead in the church. Mm. And that is very difficult, because you may have somebody who's an excellent leader and can really help a congregation, but for whatever reason, they're not willing to be a leader within the church. Maybe it's the extra responsibilities that God gives us. I don't know, but sometimes that's what I've seen.
If you could kind of paint a portrait of healthy communication, what would be in that frame?
Healthy communication, I think, is one that is as frequent as both parties need it. Some need it. Certain individuals may need it more often than others. But a good leader will know the cadence of communication that needs to happen between them and those they're leading. Good communication is always two-way, though. It's not one way. And sometimes in leadership, individuals have a tendency to it just be one way. Here's what I want done, and I'm going to be quick. I don't have a lot of time. I'm going to tell you what it is, and there's no time for feedback or to even discuss that. And I think that's sad, because more often than not, the people who are doing the job usually know more about the job than the leader, and they have usually a great amount of knowledge that can help steer us in the right direction if leaders are willing to listen to them.
Yeah, that's really good. Good friend of mine used to be a president of a university, and we may have talked about this in one of our episodes, but I asked him, he was about 4 years into being president of the university, and I asked him, you know, what is the greatest lesson you've learned in these first 4 years of leading this institution? And I kind of thought he would sit there for a moment and do some mental inventory on, well, which lesson really was the most important lesson for me to learn. And immediately he answered my question, which I thought was interesting. But what he said was, the most important thing I've learned the last 4 years is that assumption is the biggest detriment to leadership. He said, when I just assume that someone knows what I expect, or if I just assume that someone is doing the job that they've been asked to do, or if I just assume that they know what I want without me making it clear, I'm always wrong. He said, assumption is the biggest enemy in detriment to growth, success, leadership. Talk with me a little bit about that. Have you seen that be true in your experiences?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's because, back to the communication piece, it needs to be two-way. If I assume that you know what to do, and just because you're in a particular position, and my past experience has been that somebody in that particular position should know how to do X, well, you may not know it because maybe this situation is different than my past experiences. We all bring our own glasses to a situation, and we view it through that lens, through those glasses, and we see things differently from each individual sees things differently. And when you assume that everybody's seeing the same thing, it's tough. I had a situation where I wasn't aware of something recently, and it caused an issue. Well, I didn't know the expectations there, and I was fortunate that the leader of that group was wise enough that understood that, said, listen, I don't hold you accountable for this because I did not provide those expectations. Here's my expectations going forward, which is absolutely perfect. It was great because that leader was not going to assume that I knew what I was supposed to do, because I didn't, because I hadn't been communicated. That had not been communicated. When we assume, we just there's just too many things that can go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not you, you're not me, and we view things differently.
Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about the way things are viewed differently, even though you want the same thing, I was thinking back to my second preaching job. This is about 15 years ago. One of my elders wanted me to preach more sermons on, by his description, first principle sermons. And I said, okay, I can do that. So I spent some time preaching some sermons on what I thought were first principle sermons. And after 90 days, we were in an elders meeting, and this one particular elder who had asked me to preach on first principle sermons brought it up again and accused me of being, you know, somewhat rebellious and not doing what the elders had asked me to do. And I said, well, you know, I'm confused as to why you think that I have not done what the elders have asked me to do. He said, well, you haven't preached any first principle sermons. And I said, well, I preached a sermon on the resurrection of Jesus, and I preached the sermon on the beginning of the church, and I preached a sermon on justification by faith and forgiveness of sins through baptism. Well, comes down to it, he had a different definition of first principles than I did. He was wanting me to preach more on worship style and leadership structure. And we were talking two different languages. And what he viewed as non-compliance with a request from the eldership, I viewed as a misunderstanding of term. And we worked it out, and I said, oh, well, that's what you mean by first understanding. Sure, I'll preach on that. So I preached on those couple issues, and for the next 6 months, he was my biggest fan. But it was just a lack of understanding for the types of things we were talking about.
And I think in church work, that happens more often than we realize, because that's a great example. First principles are can be different from one person to the next, and even from one church to the next. Mm-hmm. And you can go down the laundry list, not necessarily mm-hmm. just first principles, but what does one think as these are the necessary things that we should always teach and every person needs to have for that. And you can, let's grab faith. You know, we can talk about faith. One person is talking about it as, well, I talk about the faith, I'm talking about us knowing the exact doctrine and having all of the doctrine right. Then you have somebody else that talks about faith. Well, no, that is my deep-seated belief that in the Creator God who loves me and Jesus, and I believe that without any doubt. That's my faith. Well, both of them can be right in a sense, but if I'm talking about, let's talk about our faith, and I'm thinking about that relationship and that deep-seated, just everything about me that believes in God, and you're thinking, well, faith is about making sure we understand the difference between justification and sanctification, mm-hmm. and faith is knowing, you know, why we meet on Sundays and why we teach baptism, why we, you name whatever it is along those mm-hmm. lines of doctrine, I think. And if you're trying to lead a group and you have one vision of faith one way, they have a vision of faith another way, you're not going to provide them what they need because they're looking for X and you're giving them Y.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And it's all just a misunderstanding. Neither party's wrong and neither party's failing to think about the other party. It's just we're not talking the same language. So I think when you have an absence of leadership, as you well put, there's always an absence of communication. And the assumption, I think, is one of the biggest culprits to that absence of true, valuable communication. Let's talk a little bit about when leadership is evident and the type of difference it makes. So let's talk business background first, then we'll move over to the church side. But in your business background, looking over your business career, when did leaders make the biggest difference in your life?
In times of stress and difficulty. So working in an organization that was in medical devices, the governing body is the FDA. Mm-hmm. And they make all the rules and all the regulations, but they also will come in and do audits of medical facilities and look and make sure you're following things you're supposed to be following. Well, that's an extremely nervous time because the FDA, they have the ability to come in and shut your operation down. Believe it or not, you could have a manufacturing facility that operates at a cost of $2 million a day, and they can shut that down by just coming, nope, you can't. You can't do any more work until we clear you and you have that. So it becomes an extremely nervous time, very high pressure. Good leaders are able to set the tone for those types of situations. They come in with calmness. They come in with confidence. And they are able to keep, they were able to, the leaders that I saw do this, they were able to keep things in check for everybody and not allow the angst to get out of control. And they kept us focused. Mm. So during this entire nervous time, what did you see? You didn't see the leader sweating bullets and cussing and doing all of this other stuff that just would show that. These individual leaders, you saw calmness, directness, and just confidence. And it's like, nope, we're good. We've got this. We've done the right things. If they do find something, whatever, but that rolls downhill.
So are you saying it's more about what they didn't do than what they did?
I think that's a lot of it. It is because what you if you're reactionary, that creates nervousness. If you react one way one time and another way another time, that creates nervousness. It's so if you stay true and don't act or not act, react. If you're not reactive and you're proactive, then so I guess.
I'm thinking about a commercial. I don't know if you saw this commercial. It was a couple of years ago, but it was an insurance commercial, wasn't what it was. But there's this scene where a doctor comes in to visit his patient in the OR before the, or the pre-op before they go into the operating room, and the patient's there, you know, in his gown and everything. He's laying in bed, and you can tell he's real anxious, and the doctor comes in. He's like, well, he said, are you nervous about your surgery? And the patient's like, yeah, I'm real nervous. The doctor says, yep, me too. He said, well, see you in there, and walks out. And the whole point of the commercial is you don't want to put your trust in people that are just as nervous as you are. Let us handle the fear for you. Well, you know, yeah, that's such a good point of true leaders. They may not have to say anything at all, but just their disposition, their demeanor. People respond more to nonverbal communication than they do verbal communication. You know, if you're getting on an airplane and you see the pilot walk up and he looks like he's scared to death, you're not going to get on that airplane. Right. If you see a pilot walk into an airplane and he's done this a million times before, I'm at ease. So that's good.
It's the presence. You know, we talk about that sometimes with leadership. It's, do you have the command and presence as you walk in a room as a leader? And those that are great leaders, you see that. They walk in a room and they just, something about them, it's nonverbal, but it just, you can go, oh, that's somebody I'm going to listen to. And I wonder what they're doing. I'm going to follow them.
Yeah. Even if I'm scared to death, I'm not going to let anyone else know it.
Right. That's why I think in the military, your great military leaders were those guys that led from the front, because they were able to instill in their troops, we've got this. And if I'm scared, I am not going to show it to my team. I'm going to lead them, and I'm going to take it.
Absolutely. Let's talk about church background. I mean, there's probably some carryover, but you've been on staff now, I guess, of two churches, and you've worked for a nonprofit organization for churches, and you've been a member of different churches your entire life. I mean, you've always been with God's people, as I have. You know, you've been raised around it. So you've seen good leaders, you've seen bad leaders. In a church setting, when have leaders made a big difference in your life?
When I was at, me personally, would be when I was at a crossroads of what I've, of maybe a job change, or I was at a crossroads of life. What am I going to do next? And the good leaders are always able to offer advice that makes sense, that is relatable, and that's not easy to follow necessarily, but it's simple in its understanding of what I need to do. Those guys and ladies have made a huge difference in my life over the years during those times. The other time is when there's turmoil in the church. Every church has problems. Well, you know, as great as one church may be, I guarantee you that church has got problems underlying, right? There's always something going on. Somebody's not happy about something. And what I've noticed is great leadership, great elderships have the ability to not react, a knee-jerk reaction. They are able to calm each side down and work to find a compromise and bring everybody back to the true focus being on God and on Jesus. And that's not easy to do, because we get our own personalities involved, and nothing's more passionate than politics and religion, right? And so if we're on opposite ends of that religious spectrum, on opposite ends of a view that we both hold dear, the good leaders that are able to come in and help us understand that, okay, God is first, and we need to put ourselves beside and look to Him. That's been the change, or the times that I've seen it happen. There's been a couple of times in particular that I saw that happen. I've also seen it on the flip side where that didn't, and you had sides got chosen and knee-jerk reactions happened.
As you're talking about that, I think it, in some ways there's some similarities, but also the complete opposite of leadership in business versus leadership in faith organizations. you know, you mentioned like when auditors come in to a factory or a business that's generating $2 million in revenue a day, if you get shut down, that's catastrophic. And you don't want to show a sign of doubt or uncertainty in a business setting. When I think about leaders in a church setting or in a faith setting that have made a big impact in my life, it's men and women who are willing to admit, you know, I don't know if I know the answer to that question, or I'm not totally positive my view is correct, or, you know, you bring up a valid point that I haven't thought about before. I begin to doubt someone's leadership and authenticity and sincerity when we're talking about faith issues and they always have all the answers. And there's no way that any other opposing view could be true. If they are totally certain 100% of the time, to me, they lack credibility.
Absolutely. That's where being able to understand the compromise. And it's in the business world, their God is the dollar. It's mm-hmm. the prophet. Here, our God is God, and it should be, and Jesus. And so none of us are going to have all the answers. And those, like you said, those great leaders in church settings go, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I trust God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you and I, if we were on the opposite ends, that we need to come back and come together and trust God. It's you look at the apostles, in Acts, right? They were replacing Judas, and you had that they all great men of God in there, and they didn't know what to do, didn't know what the next step was with who were they going to choose as the next apostle. And they cast lots and they put it in God's hands because they said, what I don't know the answer, you don't know the answer. Peter didn't know the answer. James didn't know the answer. Matthew, all of these guys didn't know the, but they knew God knew the answer.
Right, right.
And I think that's great leadership.
So in Romans chapters 9 through 11, Paul talks about some of the most confusing theology in the New Testament, yet some of the most important for Israel's history and the Gentiles' history. That's when he talks about, you know, I wish I could be cut off for the sake of my Jewish friends, but God has brought in the Gentiles, and he talks about how he's grafted them in into one tree, and some branches have been cut off so others could be brought in, but those same branches could grow back in whenever they were ready. I mean, there's all this confusing theology, but as you were talking, I thought about how he ends this great discourse, Romans chapters 9 through 11. He ends with this statement, verses 33 through 36. This is Romans 11. Paul says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has ever been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things." So Paul is inspired. He is a brilliant man, both in the Jewish faith and now in the Christian faith. And even Paul says, I'm not God's counselor. Who can understand everything in the mind of God? I can't. No one can. And like you're saying, I think people open their hearts to others who are willing to admit, I don't have all the answers, but I know that God does. And when religious leaders act like they do have all the answers, I mean, they've already lost the battle.
It's their pride,
yes,
seeping in. And you know, it's interesting to me. A lot of the things we argue about in churches, we argue, and there's a lot of pride and arrogance that happens in that argument. And there's probably more scriptures talking about pride.
Mm-hmm.
And how God hates pride versus whatever subject we're arguing about.
Right.
And
right.
So the good leaders, I think, they recognize that and say, let's give it to God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man, one thing I like about these conversations, we don't know where it's going to go. I mean, I send you a few questions I'm going to ask you. I don't know what you're going to say. And I always enjoy your insights and watching where the conversation takes itself. So if you've been listening today, you know, we've talked about what creates an absence of leadership. We said, communication. No communication, no leadership. What leads to a lack of communication? We talked a little bit about assumption. Yes. When you assume, you're not talking. you're not talking, and you always get yourself behind the eight ball when you're just in assuming. We said in businesses, when do leaders make a difference? When they're totally confident.
Right.
In churches, when do leaders make a difference?
When they're confident in God.
When they're confident in God and can tell people around them, I'm not sure. you know, that's interesting how you have that difference of approach, but I think it's one that the Bible would agree with.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need to be confident in God and also respect the things of God we can't understand.
Yeah, and Paul says for us not to think more highly of ourselves than we should think, but to have a sober thinking and judgment with that. And that means I don't have the answers. God's got the answers.
Right. Well, Marcus, thank you for your time today.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it and enjoyed it.
We're going to have, I guess, one more episode next time. We're going to talk about how do we build leaders. If leadership's that important, we can't run out of leaders. So how do we train the next group of leaders? Well, as always, thank you for giving us some of your time today here at Road Talk. Keep your eyes on heaven, and I can't wait to talk with you next time.